Filthy Intern. Yes. And we got interviews with The Weeknd. And who did you book?
Honey Bunny Moonbee.
They'll be here at like 9:20?
9:20, precisely.
All right. Stay tuned to Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9 San Francisco, Los Angeles. Want to frame bring online at piratecatradio.com. All right, welcome back to Pirate Cat Radio. It's TJ Fogg. It is Bagged by the Bay. Before we get to some music, I want to get to
the world.
The news. The news, as it were. You know, Mike 2 still just isn't very loud. Speak again.
Hello.
That's better.
Good.
Got to crank this thing way up.
Make it better.
Yes. The LA Times leads with a word that the military is shifting some of its Predator drone aircraft away from hunting Al-Qaeda operatives towards tracking down Taliban and aiding general war efforts in Afghanistan. The scarce drones are one of the military's most precious intelligence assets, and the increased focus on the Taliban shows how the U.S. officials... Well, let me get the... Where's my background music?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What are we...
Do-do-do-do.
I need, you know, the news is boring, so you got to have some kind of like...
Some picker-upper
in the background.
People do feel better about that, huh?
Yeah, they do. This is the Chubby Creatures. Let's get that going back up.
Ooh, that makes the world sound just playful and childish.
Yeah, let's talk about terrible things going on in the world. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Killing people. So the drones will be operated by conventional forces in Afghanistan and have... And the focus will be on tracking movements of insurgent strongholds. We have been overly counterterrorism focused and not counterinsurgency focused, said one U.S. official. USA Today leads with a look at how more Americans are failing to pay their property taxes amid the recession, meaning that those who might have survived the foreclosure wave could eventually lose their home and tax seizures. There's no national figure, but many localities have reported a sharp increase in the number of businesses and homeowners who aren't paying their tax bill at a time when local governments are already strapped for cash. New York Times highlights that it seems opponents of the healthcare reform have managed to make the portrayal of the plan as a government takeover that will limit choice stick in the minds of the public. With advertising against the plan set to increase now, then lawmakers will head home for their summer break. These ideas are likely to increase. The Wall Street Journal notes that the administration officials agree that they may have misfired a bit by focusing too much on the difficult-to-understand issues of medical costs. Now Obama's making more of an effort to talk up consumer protection rules for insurance companies in order to appeal those who already have coverage but are afraid of losing it for arbitrary reasons. A Washington Street poll, only 20% said they would have better care after the overhaul. And what else is going on? Oh, yes. The deal reached between key conservatives and Representative Harry Waxman would exclude more small businesses from the requirement they provide health care by extending the exemption to companies that have an annual payroll of $500,000 rather than $250,000. The Blue Dog Democrats agreed to maintain the government-run insurance program, but only if it delinked from Medicare because it concerns the government would have such competitive advantage that it would end up driving private insurers out of business. Boo-hoo.
I know. What crummy
Oh, no.
Problems.
Tears are flowing for him. Maybe it's an eye infection, but if I had health insurance, I could have it fixed, so I'm going to assume it's tears.
There you go. Anyone willing to help?
Yeah. That means that the government insurance program would have to negotiate separately with providers. Many Democrats expressed their displeasure at the compromise, particularly since Blue Dog leaders made it clear that there was no guarantee that the majority of the caucus would support the legislation. Meanwhile, the Senate's group of six continued to negotiate, and Senator Max Baucus said the draft of the reform package would cost $900 billion over a decade, which is slightly less expensive and comes under the psychological important $1 trillion mark. Yeah, I mean, you know, why not say $999.99 billion, you know, like
we
they do
should.
With like stuff at, you know, Walgreens. You know, that 99 there makes so much difference.
With a smiley face.
Yes. And let's see what else. No, I don't want to talk about that.
You can talk about the budget.
Well, okay.
I mean, or you don't have to.
Oh, we'll do about the F-22s. Let's talk about more military fun stuff.
Sure.
When the Senate voted to end the F-22 fighter jet program, many had hoped it would signal the beginning of a new era in defense contracting, but today the Washington Post made it clear that few things have changed. The House gets ready to vote on a military spending bill that includes at least $6.9 billion of equipment that the Defense Secretary Gates says is not needed. The White House is urging lawmakers to take a cue from Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and grab a huge knife. But both the Republicans and Democrats have proven they're reluctant to cut lucrative programs for contractors to provide jobs and lots of campaign funds. Almost $3 billion of the extra funds would go to financing earmarks pet projects demanded by individual lawmakers. More than half of that would go to projects specifically requested by private companies. Members of Congress should not have the ability to award no-bid contracts, Representative Jeff Flake, a Republican of Arizona, who has long been a critic of the earmarks, said. Oh, that is enough news. I am done with news.
Yeah, unfortunately, the world's not a happy place these days.
No, it's not. So let's get to something happier. Let's.
The music stopped.
I know.
It's just depressing all over the place.
This is who is this? This is Diamond Watch Wrist. Let's talk about what's going on in the Bay Area live. Live shows. Go see a live show. Get out of your house. Tonight at the Parkside is Black Cobra. It's a 21-up show. $8. Going on today at Cell Space is Stories of Light and Darkness, photographs by Francisca Ribeiro with music by Otis Kanasafis.
That show consists of all good friends of mine, actually.
Really?
I got those bands to play at that space, and that girl, Francesca, is a lovely Portuguese lady who's quite a photographer. I'd say it might be one of the most worthwhile things you could go check out this evening.
Well, it's all ages, and it's free at Cell Space Gallery at 2050 Bryan Street, a mere few blocks here from the Pirate Cat Radio Studios at 21st in Florida. Going on at Amnesia tonight is Saint from Portland. It's an early show, and it's free. It's 21 up at 7. At the Rickshaw Stop tonight is SF Songberg Fest with Bored Loves a Working Man, Struts, last week's guest, The High Nobles, and The Devilettes. That's $10, 21 up. Going on at Amnesia for the late show, because there's two shows, Sunny in the Sunsets at their 7-inch release party, Small Sir from Baltimore, Nat Grace from Austin. That's $7, 21 up, and that's at 9. And going on at Mama Cleso's Voice Factory, a Mission and 11th is Habeas Corpus. It's an all-ages show. $20 for that show, all ages. That's pretty pricey.
It is. Have you ever been there before? I've never heard of that place.
I've never been to Mama Cleso's. I didn't even know there was a Mama Cleso's Voice Factory at Mission and 11th. But now I know. Knowing's half the battle.
Might stumble in there now.
Yeah. Going on at the Artist Television Access is the Freeform Film Festival, all ages, $6. At the Red Devil Lounge tonight is the Stone Foxes, Taxes, Telegraphics, and Strange Vine, $6 in advance, 8 at the door, 21 up at 8 p.m. At the Rock Room tonight is the SF Indie Band Model Student, $6, 21 up. At Annie Social Club tonight is Two Against One, The Misters, and Audrey Howard in the Dolorada. That's $7, 21 up, 9 p.m. At the Uptown tonight is Dictator Tot. And a band called No, and I guess that's No Cover. I don't know if it's the band name or that means there's no cover. It's 21 up at the Uptown. I don't know. They didn't actually post if it was Uptown in Oakland or the Uptown here in the city.
I have to say that's something that I've always been confused about with those two. Usually it's unclear on both ends, I have to say.
I always make sure to put the Uptown in Oakland when I post the calendar. But I don't know if it's Uptown over at 17th and Cap or the one in Oakland. And I'll go to both, find out, tell me, report back for me. Going on at the Bottom of the Hill tonight is the Warlocks, the Morning After Girls, and Gliss, $12, 21 up. The Warlocks. Wasn't that the original name for the Grateful Dead?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was.
I'm familiar with these Warlocks, but not that.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
At the Album tonight is every Thursday, Afrolicious with DJ host Pleasure Maker and Senior Oz, plus residents J. Elrod and B. Lee, and special guests DJ DRM from Bastard Jazz, New York City, if that means anything to you. It's $5 before 11, $6 after, 21 up, starting at 9:30. And that's that. We got another song coming up. This is the Thermals. Why don't you read a PSA, and then I'll get to the Thermals.
I got one shuffling in my fingers. The Bike Kitchen is a cooperative, do-it-yourself bike repair shop. They provide all the tools and parts you need to fix or build a bicycle. A staff of volunteer mechanics is available to give advice and answer questions. Instead of charging fees, the Bike Kitchen charges membership dues that are either $5 a day or $40 a year. If you're short on cash, you can earn a membership or parts by volunteering in the shop for a certain amount of hours. For more info, go to bikekitchen.org. This PSA is brought to you from your friends at Pirate Cat Radio 87.9 FM.
And so this is going to be, this is the Thermals. Now we can see off the album of the same name. Giving it a spin here on Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9 San Francisco, Los Angeles, 104.8 in Berlin, or line at pirateCatRadio.com.
We'll be right back. feelings that you hide, always stirring deep inside. And if you ever feel inclined, oh girl, you know I'll find the time. On the dance floor I'll provide, shake our hips as we collide. And when you need some peace of mind, you know I'm never hard to buy. All those feelings that you hide, always stirring deep inside. And if you ever feel inclined, oh girl, you know I'll find the time. On the dance floor I'll provide, shake our hips as we collide. I'm
positions on camera. Guys,
cool. Ready. Welcome back to Pirate Cat Radio's GJ Fogg. It is Bagged by the Bay. And who do we play there, Dirty Filthy Intern?
That was Redhead Girl. Potentially a Dirty Filthy Redhead Girl. But that was the song name anyways. And that was by the Soft Pack from the album The Muslims EP. Prior to that was I'm Confused, which might be a common occurrence. The song title was I'm Confused by Handsome Furs from the album Face Control. Prior to that was the song Make You Mine by Miami Horror from the album Bravado. And as you started things out, you said that was Now We Can See by the Thermals from the album Now We Can See. And, there's some more music coming up, And yes, that is where we stand now.
And I got a whole bunch of tickets to give away. But I'm going to mention the tickets you can win if you call in. And while you do that, I want you to read what's going on. I'm going to do the tickets, then you can go to what's going on in the cafe.
Roger.
If you want tickets to see The Wall of Voodoo, Stan Ridgway and the band presenting Desert of Dreams at the Great American Music Hall tomorrow night. It's a $25 show, doors at 8, shows at 9, and it's seated. Give me a jingle. I also got tickets to see the infamous String Dusters 9, Great American also. And I also have tickets to see Dickie Betts in the Great Southern. And that's at Slim's, along with, this should be a really good show, Thursday, August 20th, the Toy Soldiers, Battle Hooch, the Horde and the Harem, and the Buttercream Gang. That's a $13 show, August 20th at Slim's. If you want a pair of tickets, give us a call, 510-PIRATE-CAT. That's 747-8228. That's 510-747-8228. That's our brand new number.
It's a new one.
PIRATE-CAT. Very clever. Give us a call. More than better tickets. So what else we got going on in the studio?
Well,
hey, I got...
Wow, that was quick.
Let's see who won tickets. And what did they win tickets to? You're on the air with Pirate Cat.
Yeah, I won the tickets for the 20th at Slim's.
The Toy Soldier Show?
With
Battle Hooch?
Definitely.
Yeah, all right. You won a pair of tickets. Let's go to a song, and I'll get
Battle
your...
Battle Hooch.
Get your... Yeah, Battle Hooch is great.
Battle Hooch.
Just play a song, and we'll you stay on the line. We'll get your stuff in a sec.
Cool.
That's good. Thank you.
Welcome back to Pirate Cat Radio. It's DJ Fogg. Congratulations to Scott to winning those tickets to August 20th at, I think it was that Bottom of the Hill or Slim's?
I think it was Slim's.
It was for the Toy Soldiers show. Yeah, what was that, Slim's?
Battle Hooch.
The Slim, Toy Soldiers, Battle Hooch, the Horde and the Harem, and Buttercream Gang. Scott there got a pair of tickets to August 20th. We might give out some more tickets later on the show to a whole bunch of stuff. But what else? What were you talking about earlier? You were doing the interviews or the live performances?
There's some interviews coming up. And, the next one would be on Saturday, August 1st. Spicy Meat Parade from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Steve and Colin Show. Sunday, August 2nd on Hard Candy. Well, it's Hard Candy from 3 to 5 p.m. Johnny Con Carne. Also on Sunday, August 2nd, Long Playa from 10 p.m. to 12 midnight. Cockatoo Twins, Heaven or Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's our kind of like DJ free-for-all. It's our potpourri show where any DJ can like do a little sit and just play some music for once.
I'm familiar with this.
Yes. I think Monkey's going to be doing one of those eventually.
Ooh, everyone.
I hope he remembers how to use the board.
It's been a
little
while.
He hasn't done a show in so long, poor guy. He's too busy running the damn station.
Tears. Monday, August 3rd, Canary Hours from 8 to 10 p.m. on Linda. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Tuesday, August 4th on Neat Noise from 6 to 8 p.m. Roxy, Epoxy, and The Rebound. Wednesday, August 5th, Mr. Odom's Bottomless Pit from 4 to 6 p.m.
One of the best shows we have on Pirate Cat.
I have not listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
I will now. I trust you.
It's a good show.
It's Human Toys, Paris, France, and Eddie Demon, Total Annihilation. Thursday, August 6th, Baghdad by the Bay. That's me. Overview.
Yeah, the band Overview's coming in at 8:40 next week.
How do you feel about that?
I feel great.
Good. I anticipate they do as well. And there's
they better.
Yes, this is true. Saturday, August 8th, Deviant Ninja from 8 to 10 a.m. Joel Aguilera. It's East Bay SPCA. And Broken Record Party, 2 to 4 p.m., also Saturday, August 8th. Tamara Palmer from SF Weekly. Sunday, August 9th, Hard Candy from 3 to 5 p.m., Brian Hill, Acid King, and Buzz Oven. And also on Sunday, August 9th, Long Playa from 10 p.m. to 12 p.m. midnight, This Mortal Coil. It'll end in tears.
That's great.
That's quote.
And then week after that on my show, what is that? The 13th? Yeah. We have a live performance by Weather Pending.
Cool.
So that'll be good. And then I was going to have a live performance with Species Christ, which is a side project with Cameron of Raised by Robots and Matt from All My Pretty Ones. But they opted to go for an interview for their first appearance.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
What about live performances? What do we got?
Pretty good. Well, there are. We have them.
Good.
Is the answer. Saturday, August 1st, Los Centonteles, 4 p.m. I remember that because last week I couldn't read that word very well.
And now you've gotten improved. You went home and practiced your Spanish. Good boy.
I went and I brought out the Mexican in me, which there is some. So.
Your spicy side.
Yeah, the tasty part. Sunday, August 2nd, Jake High with Youth Speaks, 7 a.m. Monday, August 3rd, Sarah Lavelle at 4 p.m. Wednesday, August 5th, Ember at 7 p.m.
Oh, no, Ember's. What date was that?
Wednesday, August 5th?
August 5th. I think that was moved. I think it was moved to the 9th, but it might be just old information. Ember.
Text here Ember, says differently, pal.
Ember was going to be on my show. And then because Starbuck knows them, she went and booked him on her show too.
Oh,
and they're going to be on twice in 1 week. And I'm like, Stu, our interview master is like, why are you guys having one band on twice in 1 week? And I said, what?
You should split them in half.
I kicked them to the curb is what I did. I told Starbuck she can have them. They're her fucking friends. And don't be so greedy on Pirate Cat Radio.
Damn,
that's what
straight.
I said.
There
fuckers. I can't come on the station twice in a week. We need all the space we can for all the great artists in this city.
Even you can't go on twice a week.
No,
I
can't.
That's the point.
I know. I gotta wait 7 days. Otherwise, I'll cramp.
Otherwise, you'll what?
I'll have cramps.
Yeah.
7 day waiting period after doing a radio show, you get cramps. It's just like swimming and eating.
It's happened to some good people. Thursday, August 6th, Petrakovic.
Petrakovic, yes. That's going to be a live performance next week.
Any thoughts? I butchered that name, so at least we can do it.
Petrakovic, sort of, I have no thoughts.
Okay.
I don't know. Sometimes a lot of the times I book bands, I don't even listen to them. I don't want the bias of my taste in music. They were available. They said yes. They're playing my show. That's how it works.
That's more humble than I think you actually are. Or do you just hide it well?
I hide it well.
Okay. Sunday, August 9th.
I mean, what if I listen to the MySpace page and they suck? Well, but that's my personal opinion. That's not a fact. Right? And then they don't have access to PirateCat, and so the rest of the world can hear if they think they suck. I think they should come on, and if they're going to suck, they should do it on their own accord, not mine.
But you also have your own show reputation to uphold, right? And I'm not talking about any particular band, but
I've just been really lucky.
Oh, wow.
I've only had a few sucky bands.
Like
which reminds me, Weekend's going to be on the show in a little bit, doing an interview.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not implying that they're sucky, but...
I don't know what to say to
we'll
that.
Find out.
I think we will. Anyways, Sunday, August 9th, Pirate Cat Radio presents Sunday Night String Stampede the 3rd at Café du Nord with Agent Ribbons, Foxtails Brigade, Garrett Pierce.
Oh, the Foxtails Brigade. They're great.
Yeah, I actually
they're adorable, too.
I met the girl from Laura. I spent Sunday evening with her and some other folks. And and Agent Ribbons, also a very good band. So that'll be a good one, I think. I think I might maybe go there. That's at 8 p.m. It's $10. Monday, August 10th, Moldover and Richdit. RICHDDT.
Good enough.
8 p.m. Tuesday, August 11th, For Sun, 8 p.m. Wednesday, August 12th, The Gamoran Social Aid and Pleasure Club at 5 p.m. That's an early one. And Showcase at Uptown Nightclub.
Yes.
That is Oakland with
Oakland,
Fire
Uptown.
Whiskey Neon Anyway at 9 p.m. Thursday, August 13th, Lovin' Rockets Tribute Band, 6 p.m. Weather pending, 9 p.m.
That's right. All right, that's enough.
That is everything.
We've been reading and talking for way too long. What's the next song in that we got coming up? What's the next song?
The next song, I believe, would be Harmless Lovers Discourse by Odwas.
Odwas? All right, let's give it a spin here on Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9 San Francisco, Los Angeles, 104.8 in Berlin, or line at piratecatradio.com. And welcome back to Pirate Cat Radio's DJ Fog. It is Bagged by the Bay. We'll be talking to Weekend here in a little bit. But before we get to them, let's play a song off their kind of working demos, as it were. This is Tiara here on Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9 San Francisco, Los Angeles, 104.8 in Berlin, or online at piratecatradio.com. You bring me songs that don't work. I was like, okay, it's a fucking noise thrash band. That's cool.
What it's the? Skipping. It's playing over and over.
Oh man.
Sorry, that's our fault.
Let's.
Is it any of it work?
I don't know.
Give track two a little shot.
Let's see if we can. Let's see if we can flywheel past the shitty part. I don't know. Maybe. Let's try it again.
All right.
Super weird.
Nope. It doesn't want to get bad burn is what it is. Let's try. Oh, nope. Well, that is very rough. Man.
Like the Lone Rangers.
I know. It's just I was like, okay, that's a very long intro. And you guys with your shitty headphones, you're like, okay. Well, we'll join the studios for a weekend. You just have to imagine what the song sounded like.
Yeah,
you got a taste. You'll have to come on Sunday to see.
You have to come on Sunday. So let's introduce the band here.
All right. My name's Sean. I play bass and sing and play guitar.
My name's Kevin. I play guitar.
I'm Taylor. I play drums.
Hey, why don't you bring the mic a little closer to you?
Oh.
There we go. All right. And let's talk about how the band formed.
Kevin, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Kevin's got the button-up shirt, so he seems responsible and had the straightest answer.
Right, I basically pulled it all together. Well, I mean, I guess I should say we've known each other for like 12 years. We met in sixth grade. We've been close friends for a long time. Been in multiple kind of bands and projects together. Taylor and Sean played in a lot of bands together. I had a band in high school that used to play with these guys. We've gotten together, you know, a few other times for different projects. And Weekend has been going for like 8 or 9 months.
Yeah,
now.
Something like that.
Yeah, so we all live in the city now and started this band out of just kind of a mutual agreement on the music we wanted to play and get together and do. So, yeah, it's just getting off the ground and we're all really excited about it.
And where'd you guys all grow up?
Nevada, California.
Nevada? Yeah. That was my hometown.
No way.
Look at that.
Wow. That place is a shithole.
Yeah, basically.
You keep talking. I'm trying to search your MySpace page and get the song off that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Sure, tell me how
quality.
Nevada is. I missed that hellhole.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, well, good old Nevada. Hasn't much changed. Only gotten larger amount of people, I believe.
There's probably 7 Starbucks there now. 2 huge Safeways.
Yeah.
And pretty non-existent music scene.
I left Nevada when I was about 12 and moved around a lot. I lived in Reno, Nevada for a while and up near Tahoe for a while. Sort of just kept in touch with these guys throughout that whole escapade. But I know Nevada well.
What part of Nevada?
And were you in NHS or San Marin?
San Marin.
San Marin.
Oh, you fucker.
Dude, it's high school. It doesn't mean anything.
I don't remember much of it, so.
I know. I just remember it sucked. All right, well, here we go, because I got your MySpace page. So does that have the song Tiara on there?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, right on. Well, let's try it part two.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Let's see if this fucking works.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Pirate Cat Radio. It's DJ Fogg. It is Badded by the Bay. Finally got that song working using the old MySpace.
Thank God.
Woo!
So let's talk about the kind of music you guys are trying to make. What were you trying to accomplish when you're making this song? It's very ethereal sounding and kind of an abstract music. What drew you to that?
I think a lot of us grew up listening to sort of punk music, and I think a lot of us... We get a lot of influences from that kind of stuff, but it's more from like sort of a tonal standpoint. So, I mean, it's not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's very political or anything. It's more personal. So I think we've taken stuff from the punk scene, but it's more about our approach to the music and sort of the tone and stuff. And it's definitely more personal sort of...
It's more of an emotion than an idea, the sound
of
it.
Yeah, definitely. It's more of a feeling.
But you guys would consider ourselves like almost like noise.
No? Yeah, I guess it's on top of that, a lot of influences come from like later noise and shoegaze bands that, you know, can really just like put so much emotion and convey so much with tones and not a lot of notes.
I always find it interesting that for bands who tend to use the vocal tracks almost as one of the instruments itself. I mean, you can almost argue that in a sense it's almost instrumental in the sense that it's not lyrically driven music.
Definitely
at all. And the lyrics are so behind it with the effects that it's really just another thing that you're playing to make that overall sound.
For sure. That's always been our kind of approach to vocals, I think. Just
Is it because you're nervous about your vocals or just because that's what you like?
No.
Because it worked for Trent Reznor. He's like, I sing through... all that shit because I don't like my voice.
No, I don't think it's about that. I mean, I think I don't necessarily want someone to take away my like personal relationship to the song. You know, I want someone to interpret it and sort of get whatever they get out of it, have their own relationship to it. And so I think, you know, if I have something to say, it can easily be conveyed through like the way I say words or sort of more gestural ways of singing.
And so what are your musical influences? What were your parents playing in the house when you grew up?
Rolling Stones.
I think probably I don't even think my dad was listening to jams.
Nirvana.
Yeah, my dad like raised me on Joy Division. So
really,
yeah,
I can hear that influence.
Cool.
Let's give track two a spin. This is a 7.5 minute song. That must be quite an endurance to actually play that live.
Oh yeah, we just
came from band practice.
It's a shredder.
Kind of sweaty.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Let's hope it works.
What's the name of the song?
It's called Coma Summer.
All right, let's give it a spin here on Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9, San Francisco, Los Angeles, 104.8 in Berlin, or online at piratecatradio.com. You can listen to Weekend. Well, that's a long outro, so we're just going to... A minute and a half of near silence. So you guys are playing with Japanadroid.
Japandroids, yeah.
Japandroids, whatever. Tell me, we were talking about how you got that booking, because you guys are big fans of theirs, and you basically stalked them.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, yeah.
We got their underwear first.
Yeah, right. First we stood outside their window for days on end.
The tour van actually doubled as a molestation van, so it worked out nice.
Always.
Perfect. I got their album from Taylor, like, probably 2 or 3 months ago, and really liked it, and, you know, just really thought, like, they would be an awesome band for us to play with, and emailed them about a show in Sacramento. They said they already had support.
Good. Who's going to play with them up in Sacramento?
I don't know. Not sure. Maybe Ava Gota. They're playing a few shows with Ava Gota and...
Is Ava Gota the headliner?
I don't think so. I think...
I find that odd.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Japandroids...
I guess they're about equal popularity right now.
It's hard to tell. Like, Japandroids, their album hasn't come out yet. It's going to come out in a couple days, I think.
On the 4th.
Yeah, 4th. So 2 days after our show is the U.S. release of their album. It's been postponed for a while. I don't really know how popular they are. Like... I don't know if this show's going to sell out or how many people are going to come just for them, just for us, etc.
Hundreds, I predict.
Yeah, I predict, you know, U2 style crowds.
Right, you're going to be playing on the roof of the Hemlock.
Yeah, slick my hair back.
Yeah.
Get a couple of helicopters.
Got my gold suit in.
Yeah.
In the laundromat right now.
And then, so it was supposed to be a Bagoda, actually, at the Hemlock with the band. I can't believe they would play a place that small. And then they bailed ship and went to play Great American with Deerhoof?
Yeah, I mean, originally it was going to be us and Abe Vigoda and Japandroids. That's what I heard from Tony at the Hemlock and the Japandroids booking agent, whoever that is. And then
Do those guys know the Hemlock only holds about 60 people?
Probably. I mean, who knows what their outlook for this tour is, you know? I think it's their first... time down here, I think. I could be wrong, but...
Yeah, I think it's their first successful appearance in San Francisco.
They must
yeah.
have some EPs out there. They probably...
Yeah, they have
you
a couple.
You can get it on iTunes.
Right.
And they've been trying to come down to San Francisco and do, like, a California tour, but the guy, like, had an exploded appendix or something like that and had surgery and had to postpone a few of the tours. So they added this Hemlock show, actually, like, real late in the game, and... I emailed them and we got on the show, so it's pretty exciting for us. This will be like our third or fourth live show.
Yeah.
No pressure.
None.
And TBA.
Apparently there's supposed to be another band, but...
I think they've given up on that idea, though, yeah. So it's just us two now.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Well,
which is no, even not more
no pressure.
Awesome.
No pressure.
Right. I mean, at least here's the thing. This way you can get stuck being the opener. Now you can say you're the supporting act.
Yeah, sure. Maybe we'll go on a little later. I don't know.
So let's talk about some other music stuff before we get to the... So did you bring some Japandroid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the next two tracks on that CD are Japandroids.
But let's go to some musical background stuff. Okay. What was the first concert you went to?
Green Day.
Wow.
At the Oakland Coliseum.
Really?
Yeah.
That was quick.
I'll never forget it.
Was that a Day on the Green show?
No, it was like Green Day and the Riverdales. And I remember just being like in fifth grade and going to this concert and seeing thousands of people and just having like, oh my God.
It smelled like weed.
Yeah, like you had all these foreign smells, people getting drunk, and we were with Sean's mom. And
she's fucking rolling doobies.
Yeah. I dyed my hair blue and I was like, this is going to rock. And it was right, I think, after Insomniac came out. And I just remember sitting in like the side of the stadium and just being like, this is so sick. And then, yeah, that was it.
The first show I ever went to was... My mom took me to go see Good Riddance at the Cocodrie when I was in, like, fifth grade. Do you remember the Cocodrie?
Yeah, in North Beach?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It was an old punk venue, and...
That used to be a great place for shows.
Totally. I was totally into Good Riddance, like, I think just because my mom listened to them, and she took me over to Cocodrie, and it was just super wild, classic Good Riddance show, like, tons of crowd surfing and, like, dog piles.
And they let you in there?
Yeah, I mean, it was all ages.
Cocodrie was all ages, that's right.
Yeah, they eventually shut it down for some noise thing, I think.
It's North Beach. I think they'll only have, like, titty clubs and Italian restaurants nowadays.
Yeah, Italian restaurants.
Music's venues haven't done well in North Beach.
It's I live across the street from Bimbo's, and good shows are scarce.
Bimbo's is only doing shows like a couple times a month nowadays. Yeah. I don't know what the hell is going on at Bimbo's or their
all dinner parties and stuff.
Yeah,
is that what I've seen there kind of suck.
What's that 80s cover band that's, I don't know.
Which one?
Tainted Love?
Tainted Love is always there.
Oh, Jesus.
House band.
Wow. Let's play some new original music. That's depressing me. So what's this Japan Droid song? What's the name of it?
This is Young Heart Spark Fire, track 3.
Let's give it a spin.
Check it out.
Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9 San Francisco, Los Angeles, 104 in Berlin, or online at piratecatradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Pirate Cat Radio. It's DJ Fogg. It is Banded by the Bay. So what other bands have you guys been listening to that have really caught your attention? See any good shows lately?
Like recent bands? Like,
sure.
More contemporary stuff. See, what have we been listening to? I mean, I've really been like rediscovering a lot of older stuff. I mean, I think like the new... Well, the new French Kicks album is like one of my favorite albums I've heard.
I love the their first album.
Yeah,
I think they're really wonderful.
Great. Yeah, that's really good. School of Seven Bells album is super good.
Did you get to see their show with Black Mar Super Rainbow?
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
was
I don't
that
know
when they played at Fillmore. Or
no, they played Bottom of the Hill.
Oh fuck! Wait, can I say that?
Fuck no.
Oh yeah.
No, because Black Mar Super Rainbow released their album.
Yeah.
What was the name of it? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I got it, and it's good.
They're supposed to be
something
insane.
Jelly,
live.
Right? Or Jam or something?
I don't remember. They toured with School of Seven Bells.
Yeah.
And everyone I knew wanted to go, and it was probably way sold out.
Yeah.
Have you heard that Tobacco album?
Yes, I have that too. Awesome. That album's insane.
Yeah, it's really good too.
Sounds like Black Moth, but just nastier.
Not quite. Yeah, it's a little dirtier.
Yeah.
It's a bit more brown. That's the way I'm going to describe it. It's a murkier album. What else?
I also do a lot of grindcore. And so, as that's my little side. I've always had a little place in my heart for metal and grind.
Taylor used to be in a lot of grindcore bands before joining Weekend.
Before
we made him slow down.
And so...
Board shorts and baseball caps and everything.
Yeah. Just little shorts, no shirt, shred to the max.
That's a great image.
And so, I don't know, I think... I got the new Coalesce album, Ox, and I was really happy that they reformed and made an album because it's awesome. And actually, some band that I really like is the OCs or Theoces. They're a San Francisco local band. And I was really listening to them a lot and sitting in the jam room one day and I hear this band playing and I'm thinking... God, that sounds like the OCs. If that's not the OCs, then this is the biggest ripoff I've ever heard. And then turns out it's them next door to us. And I was like,
yeah,
wow.
They play in the room next to us.
Where do you guys practice?
Moss.
Moss Street Studios. It's sort of between 6th and 7th on this alley between Folsom and Howard.
Oh, the good neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's a nice neighborhood.
It's pretty rad. They just put in these huge, you know, million-dollar condos across the street, and now they want to shut us down. And we've been there, or Moss Street Studios have been there since, you know, the 80s.
Yeah, they're going to have
That's what gentrification's all about.
Yeah.
Don't go away poor, just go away.
Pretty much.
Just leave.
Yeah. Let's play another song. Do you want to play some... what do you want me? Because you brought me a whole bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah.
We can play one of your songs off the MySpace there, the All-American.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
All right,
sounds
let's do
good.
That.
Check it out.
I mean, this is your show. Let's plug it, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
So tell me about All American.
It's sort of one of the popular songs that we've written. I mean, a lot of our songs sort of tend to try to hold this balance between noise and pop and like hooks and sort of dissonance. This is sort of more the pop side of things.
All right, let's give it a spin here on Pirate Cat Radio.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Pirate Cat Radio. It's DJ Fogg. It is Banded by the Bay. Elia, your band's running late.
They're at 16th and Mission. They're hanging out with
They'll
the
get here eventually.
Charlie Getty are the poets.
All right. Well, they'll have like 4 minutes to talk. But we got to say goodbye to the weekend. But we got to get to the plug. Tell us about all the upcoming shows.
That's funny. Pretty sure one just got canceled. So.
Yeah. Okay. So, first of all, everyone should come out to the Hemlock this Sunday. Japandroids weekend.
Get a big, giant, limited edition
Total
poster.
Shred.
Yeah, you might see some of our posters around.
It reminds me of like a poster you'd see for like a reggae show.
Yeah. No.
It's just the gradient colors.
Well, we've been collecting posters like that.
Jaman.
Off poles in the Mission. They print them up for like big soccer matches and like salsa dances.
Oh yeah, totally.
Around and Sean has like been collecting them. He's a graphic designer and just kind of like really appreciated them. And eventually we called him up and asked how much it was to get a run of posters, and it wasn't very much. So we decided this might be the occasion to get a little run going. And so you might see some bright pink and green Japandroids weekend Hemlock Tavern posters around. That's August 2nd, 9 p.m. I think we're going to go on 9:15.
Yeah.
And then
later that month at the Lipo Lounge on the 28th.
I love the Lipo.
Yeah.
Nice. I just want to say right now, the secret hidden cave of the for the bands.
We played our first show there. It was awesome.
Right. I remember we actually had a Pirate Cat holiday party there, and some of the DJs brought their bands and played. And you go through the Lipo Lounge, which is in Chinatown. And then you like go past this door, which you assume is to the storage basement.
Yeah.
And then you go past the leaking like ice cooler machine and a couple of storage doors. And then there's this like fire death trap in the bottom.
Yeah.
Where if there was a fire at the stage, everybody would die.
Yeah, I don't have great.
I don't even know how that room is even legal.
No.
If they don't let you play music at Edinburgh Castle, I don't understand how they let the Lipo Lounge get away with that basement.
Yeah, they probably just don't know about it.
They probably don't.
Right.
And there's a couple broken pinball machines, and then there's the show. It makes you feel like you're definitely in an underground LA punk club.
It's like, it's timeless.
Yeah.
It's like in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, where Shredder has that like warehouse kingdom.
Oh, yeah,
all the ramps.
Kids are
hanging
out.
What it feels like, kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah. Regular or menthol.
Yes. And so when's that show?
That's on the 28th.
Yeah, August 28th.
August 28th. And who are you playing with?
We're playing with a local band called Sunbeam Road, and then a couple other bands.
Right on. And where can they find out more about Weekend?
You can find out about us on our MySpace, myspace.com/WKNDLFE.
You had to go make it complicated.
Say that again.
Yeah. Shittiest URL ever.
WKNDLFE. It's like Weekend Life.
Okay.
With a couple letters gone.
Right. That's it. Good thinking.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for coming down. What's the last song you want to play?
Oh, cripes.
Can we play song number 5? New Order Ceremony?
Sure.
Favorite song of all time.
Yes.
Let's give it a spin here on Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9 San Francisco, Los Angeles, 104.8 in Berlin, or online at piratecatradio.com. Pirate Cat Radio's DJ Fog. It is Bad Debt by the Bay. I want to thank Weekend for coming on. Who did you book?
Honeybody Moonbee.
Yeah, you're going to do an interview? It's going to be good. You're not going to ruin my show?
I'm going to show you up.
Oh. Oh, then. I'll be sure to edit that out of the podcast.
Maybe not.
Why don't you read a PSA, and then as soon as you get that package open, we're going to play a song.
Yeah, before
that hermetically sealed CD that they brought us.
My height goes too... Before I'm too tall, I'm going to go back to my PSA reading, which is where I stand.
Not to say they're
not
down.
It's not to say they're not important, because they are. For example, Peanut Butter and Jam is a nonprofit that provides free weekend music sessions for all children, but especially the underserved community living mainly in the Tenderloin and the Mission District. Children learn to experiment with different instruments as well as work with local, national, and international musicians in a weekly music clinic. They also learn to record their music, design and create their own CDs, and market them to sell. For more info, go to pbjam2m.org. That's pbjamm.org. This PSA brought to you from your friends at Pirate Cat Radio 87.9 FM.
All right, we're going to get to Honey Body Moonbee in a bit, but let's play a song off their album. This is the song Cough Syrup here on Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9 San Francisco, Los Angeles, 1048 in Berlin, or online at piratecatradio.com.
Well, you are listening to Baghdad by the Bay, this time with Elia. DJ Fogg has left the building for the moment. It's Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9 FM in San Francisco and Los Angeles, 104.8 Berlin. And that last song was by Honeybody Moon B, and they are in the studio. How are you guys doing this evening?
We're doing wonderfully. Doing
well. And why don't you introduce yourselves? There's three of you here.
I'm Emily Ritz.
I'm Scott.
I'm Nate.
That was very linear. So break down the band for the masses.
I guess I'm Honeybody Moonbee. I'm the songwriter, the initial songwriter of
Honeybody Moonbee.
I guess when I have like other people playing, they're my Moonbees. We're Honeybody and the Moonbees, technically. So these are a couple of my Moonbees.
And how do you choose them, birth them, recreate them?
Well, they are everywhere. They're like taking over the city these days. Sometimes I have like six female Moonbee singers. Right now, for tomorrow's show, it's going to be, I'm going to have three boy Moonbees. Scott here on percussion and some vocals. Nate here is an amazing cellist, and my friend Andrew, who couldn't be here, he plays the vibraphones.
So you got a show tomorrow, huh?
We have a show tomorrow, a very exciting show. Sonia Cotton, a brilliant San Francisco musician, is releasing her long-awaited album, Red River, at Noe Valley Ministry tomorrow night, 7 sharp. It is a church, so...
It is a
seven
church,
means
so.
Seven.
Is it
open at 6:30?
Is it run by the same people who facilitate the open and closing of the church?
Yes. Yeah, they're very nice, but they are very sure that we need to end the show by 10, and there's 4 bands playing. So.
Yeah, I've never been there before. I think I'm gonna be going to that. But
you are.
I think so. But it's. How does that relationship work with the space? Are there shows there frequently?
They have a lot of events. I know that. Sonia rented the church for the night. So all the money that comes in at the door and selling refreshments, it's like $5 to $15 sliding scale to get in. And that money is going to basically... pay off the renting of the space, but she's always wanted to play a show in a church, and I have too, actually, so it works out.
It's going to be like where the church choir would play, for example?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe the stage area of the church.
There was a space that I used to frequent in Santa Barbara called the Hard to Find, and it was out of the like multi-purpose room of a church facility. And that was an interesting relationship also, but there aren't that's a kind of counterintuitive but potentially really awesome.
Yeah, no, sort of. I mean, I think churches are great venues for any
for sound
sure.
Generally. I went to a rock and roll show in New York at a big church. Gandalf Murphy and the Slambovian Circus of Dreams played in this huge church.
So that's quite a name.
Yeah.
They're quite the band.
Are they?
Quite the band. Mm. They're rocking. That was really fun.
So you guys want to play another song?
Yeah.
Why don't you pick one? Or would you and your Moonbees like to?
Maybe should we let people listen to China Basin?
Is that the...
I think it's about the China Basin here in San Francisco. Wonderful place.
So this is China Basin by Honeybody Moonbee.
Streets named after stages.
Connecticut, Illinois, all in California, yeah. Bamboo shoot, moldy plate in an old milk crate, bubble wrapped up a wear stuffed animal, railroad crossing, two tracks, no you turn, no looking back, rails, trains, and automobiles, concrete, concrete, concrete fields. Bubble wrap, Tupperware, stuffed animal, railroad crossing, two tracks, no U-turn, and no looking back.
So that was Honey Body Moon B, the song China Basin, and in the interim during that song, it was found out that that song was recorded on what?
On GarageBand.
On GarageBand?
Yeah.
What kind of a mic did you use?
The internal computer mic.
Cool. Did you, like, I anticipate that was an intentional decision.
Yeah.
Just what you had.
Yeah, I just kind of use what I have, and I don't have really my own microphone.
On, like, in a capacity like that? I mean, that's wonderful. I think, like, yeah. Lo-fi recording produces a really amazing sound. And you
can do, I like recording really actually a lot on tape, and then even like putting that again through the computer mic. I don't think I did that on that recording necessarily, but.
And that's, I guess, what the reason why I ask if it was an intentional decision to use that mic, because there are a lot of different ways you could do, like,
those internal mics on the Macs are like awesome.
Yeah.
Whenever like I hear my voice recorded really cleanly, or just a really clean recording, it sounds, you know, it's all right. I think, you know, I like it a little dirtier.
Well, I think most people do.
Yeah, good.
I mean, that's you're another song. You are producing.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you, like? There's clearly an interesting dynamic between
the production process?
Yeah, I mean, we met last summer, and I saw her at an open mic and insisted upon her coming by my place and recording a couple of her songs, and I do it very differently than she does, with Pro Tools and an M-Box and a couple decent
fancy
mics.
Stuff.
Yeah, and I've been doing it for a really long time, and we collaborated really well together, you know, and a few of the tracks made it on the album.
Yeah, so now whenever I go back to New York, we always try
and record. And now that I'm here, we're recording. I brought my rig out.
Is it just sort of a like impromptu or random development as to like what songs you record
with
Pro Tools versus what you might record
it's
on?
It's completely random, I think. It's just what
song I'm working on at that time.
What she most recently wrote. Yeah.
Well, last time I was there, I started singing this lullaby I wrote like years ago, and we were like, let's record that, you know?
Yeah, and that
so
came
it's
out.
It's kind of whatever.
Do you ever think, like, now that I'm hearing it this way, like, I wonder how it might sound, like, if I were to record it differently?
Yeah, I actually, I like the idea of having different versions of stuff. I have some friends out here who also are good producers, and I'm interested in working with them, and I really like the way things turn out with Scott, and I want to, like, where the song we're working on right now, I don't think I would do a good job of myself. Or with anybody else, so yeah, it depends on the song.
And probably partially psychological too, because if you were doing it by yourself, I'm sure you would make
totally
it work
different.
In another capacity. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of the songs we've done too, a couple of them on the EP we recorded while they were still brand new songs, and they've like evolved over time through performing them. So I would like to eventually re-record those in a more familiar.
So the show tomorrow night is going to be different than anything that we're hearing on here, and also
it's going to be a lot of the same songs, but
with different. More. Say again, how many people it's going to be?
It's going to be four of us. It's going to be me on ukulele.
It's a pretty jazzy setup, I think.
I know, yeah. Some of it's all over the place, and then the percussion, which has styles range like across the board, from like crazy like Animal Collective kind of beats to. Whatever, and then, you know, Nate's brilliant.
Celloing.
And then just the vibraphones. It's like a really unique instrument that people don't see a lot, and that Celloing. It's just an interesting combination of instruments. It's an instrumentation that is interesting.
How did that come about? I mean, what created the desire to bring those various instruments together?
It just kind of like worked out when Sonia asked me to play this show. I was really into having this lady choir that I'd been playing a few shows with, of like six or so girls singing backup for me, as well as the vibraphone player. And because a lot of them are like kind of out of town and stuff, I figured I'd cut them out of this show and have Andrew on vibes. And I thought initially it would just be me and him, and then I asked Nate. I've always wanted Nate to play cello with me, and we're doing another project too, so I kind of stole him from that, and Scott just happened to be in town.
So Nate, did you learn parts that she dictated to you, or
it was pretty quick. We just got together last week actually, and ran it through like a couple times, and then right after the rehearsal we went down to Civic Center and we started busking so we could practice performing as well.
That's right, I saw that video the other night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, some girl like
that's like what the show's gonna sound.
Nate and I are secretly hanging out behind your back.
Yeah, no, Nate's amazing, and Scott, all three of them I love working with, because I can sort of they all understand music theory at different levels, but, you know, much more than I do. But I can, like, explain to them kind of, like, the feeling, more of a feeling
it's
that I want to get out of, of, like, a part of the song. And they'll just, like, get it, you know, like, they're really in tune with what I want and can come up with their own parts, but are also really open to what I have to say about
that. Like. It's a nice mix, too, having trained and untrained.
That's a curious. I think that people describe or try to reveal what they want from a musical experience differently depending on your
theoretical background.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's good when that can work out.
Yeah, I think really it would be a totally different thing if I were able to say, like, okay, like, you know, this scale would work here, and, like, these chords, so, like, I'll, like, make up a minor chord progression, and then one of them will hear a major part to it somehow and change the feeling of it, you know, which might not happen if I were completely able to dictate.
Ideally, how would it be as it is, or would you like to have more of a theoretical understanding?
I struggle. Scott over here thinks that I should learn some theory and it could only enhance my knowledge and songwriting ability. And I agree with that, but I'm also happy not knowing it, and I haven't yet felt like I really wanted to understand music theory terribly.
It would change things substantially,
I
right?
think it really would, because yeah. the way I communicate with my instrument is, like, I really let it talk to me because I don't know what to say to it half the time, and I like that, you know? I think I would not be writing the kinds of songs I am.
So when you guys are playing with her, can you hear moments when she's playing in a certain key and then plays notes that aren't in that key? And, like, although the sonic space of it might be really cool, is there a part of you that goes, like, ugh, that wasn't right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It takes some adapting to, like, I think.
Definitely, definitely.
Like, musically, though. It's like, it's all...
Yeah, I mean, it's all just music at the end of the day.
Exactly.
But I mean, some of my favorite bands, I mean, like Beatles and Radiohead, like, you know, the Beatles never learned how to read sheet music to this day. You know, Tom York from Radiohead can't read. He doesn't know anything about music theory. And I heard stories about how Johnny Greenwood was like, I'm forbidding you from learning how to read music because that would really change things. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Hmm.
Well,
yeah, the only thing I hear from people who know music theory are like, that shouldn't work technically, but it does somehow.
About,
and I like
about
that.
Your, about
yeah,
my
about
body
certain,
movie.
Certain
yeah.
chord progressions and things that I use.
That's probably
pretty cool, huh?
A pretty cool thing, yeah. I agree. And in keeping with the sort of evolving and changing notion, you said before we should play Flesh and Bone Machine because it gives an example of a different sort of recording experience. So we're going to do that. We're going to play Flesh and Bone Machine.
Ooh.
Honeybody Moonbee, and now a PSA from the band.
July is Baked Beans Month. Baked beans have been popular in North America since before the Pilgrims landed